It's Here and Now, and just how busy was Google this year? The most used search engine in the English language says it answers more than 3.5 billion queries every day. Google made headlines in 2015 for its driverless car. There was an awkward moment for a cop in California when he pulled over a Google car with no one inside. The company also clashed with European regulators on several fronts, in one case accusing Google's of skewing search results to favor its own products and services. So let's hear where Google is headed in 2016 with the company's leading expert in search. Amit Singhal is Senior Vice President of Search at Google. Amit, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much.
Well, 17 years ago, when Google got started, there were no ads in search. And now, of course, we know there are many. Where would you say we are today in the history of search?
Well, I would say that search is quickly coming to a level of a child's understanding of language. When I started at Google 15 years back, or when Google started 17 years back, search was mostly done by keyword matching. There was not much understanding of language. And within a few years of Google starting, we started understanding language like a toddler. And today, we are at a stage where Google understands language. I'd compare it to maybe somewhere between a 7 and 10-year-old, but not a teenager yet. And, you know, that's where we are headed. We, at the end of the day, we need to understand language to satisfy what people are looking for. And that's the quest that I have been on as an academic for 25 years and that Google's on.
Well, put that into practical terms. What do you mean? Is it that when we, for instance, type something into the search bar and we make a mistake, Google knows language well enough to know what we meant to search for? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, that was the toddler phase of our language understanding, where if you make a mistake as you type something, we would say, did you mean something else? However, now we are getting to a point where Google can answer questions. You can ask Google, how tall is Barack Obama? You will get the answer. Then you can follow on that question by saying, who's his wife? You don't have to say, who is Barack Obama's wife? We understand that when you said his, you meant Barack Obama, and we would happily answer Michelle Obama. And this is the level of language understanding that I'm attributing to, you know, a child somewhere between 7 and 10 years old. And clearly, you know, as your questions get complex, Google today does not understand everything, and that's what keeps my job so interesting and exciting after being here 15 years.
Mm. There are a lot of questions now about Google and about competition and big questions about privacy and data gathering. Earlier this month, we spoke to Vivek Wadha. He's a fellow at the Center for Corporate Governance at Stanford, and here's what he had to tell us about privacy.
The fact is that our smartphones know where we go. They know who we meet. They know who we talk to. Apple reads our emails. Google reads our emails before we do. They know everything we think, because when we search for something, they have all of this information. Already now, technology companies have more information than Big Brother ever dreamed about.
Amit, a lot of Americans feel increasingly paranoid about what tech companies know about us. So convince me that it's not justified.
So when you talk about user privacy, you can't talk about user privacy in a vacuum. You have to talk about user privacy in conjunction with user data security. We at Google deeply care about privacy, and we have built some of the most secure systems to keep all the data that Google knows about you fully secure. We have deep security systems. At the same time, users should be fully in control of their data. And we have built a Google control center where users can just go and look at my account and delete any data that Google has about them if they feel uncomfortable.
And then Google couldn't see that information.
Then Google wouldn't be able to see that information. So data security combined with user control, and the third key aspect to privacy is providing users with value. Google now can tell a user that if their next meeting is across town and traffic is heavy, Google now prompts the user to leave 10 minutes earlier. That's tremendous value to the user. That's tremendous value to me. And users are very comfortable telling Google where they are because they are getting so much value out of it.
But it is a fine line that you walk, because if I shop around for a pair of shoes on the internet, for instance, that pair of shoes will follow me around my computer and my internet searches for weeks at a time. Ads will come up. And finally, they won't go away until I cave in and buy the shoes. And I know that people find that intrusive.
So when you talk about searching for shoes, that data is only kept at Google. You will not be targeted on third-party sites based on what you searched for. This is a big misconception people have. Various sites on the internet target them using other systems, which, when provided by Google, we have a product in that space too, where you can actually turn off personalization of those ads on third-party sites.
It's interesting because Europe has taken a much stronger stand on privacy than the United States. European officials have even taken many steps to enshrine the right to be forgotten. It's a policy that will give Europeans the right to demand that companies like yours remove incorrect or outdated information about them. What would the effect be on your work if that right existed here in the United States?
So, look, I believe that we are fundamentally a forgiving society. And I am very comfortable with the notion that a child's or a teenager's hijinks should not follow them throughout their life. But as things get serious later in life, one person's privacy is another person's information in case of professional relationships. Imagine a doctor with a malpractice suit. Should a patient be allowed to know that or not? Of course, the doctor doesn't want that. We at Google, of course, will follow the law of the land. In Europe, right to be forgotten is the law of the land, and we follow it. But at the same time, we follow it with proper parameters where if some information is deemed in public interest, we do not comply with the right to be forgotten.
But knowing what's in the public interest is very complicated. That's a judgment call. You know, a doctor who has committed malpractice may be one thing, but there also may be a small business owner who may be getting terrible reviews that because someone has a vendetta against them. How do you balance that?
So we balance that by looking at who's publishing that piece of information. If a newspaper is publishing that piece of information, then newspapers have editorial boards that have gone through the process of saying, since this is in public interest, I will publish it. That's a case where we would push back. On the other hand, if it is a 10-year-old story, then clearly we understand this was something that was way in the past and does not have public interest at this moment. So these are the kinds of things that we use to make sure that we are doing the best anyone can, given that law in Europe and the company's resources.
Why do you think Europeans are so much more proactive on this issue than people in the United States?
I believe that the history of Europe is different than the history of United States, and that has influenced the thinking on the two continents. We have a very strong freedom of speech belief. At the same time, there have been many sad phases in the history of Europe, the Nazi era, the Stasi, and so on and so forth. And I think that history guides both the continents still today.
2016 is on the horizon. I want to ask you, what is the biggest innovation that we will see in your industry next year?
So 2016 is going to be a tremendous year for search, like the last 15 or 17 years have been. We are making progress at an amazing pace. Today, you can just talk to your mobile phone and get the answer. You can tell your mobile phone to set a reminder for you. You would see 2016 be the year where we would build a service, a search service, that would feel very much like an assistant to you. You can talk to it, you can tell it anything, and it would proactively tap you on your shoulder and tell you, maybe the traffic's really bad, you should leave.
That's Amit Singhal. He's the Senior Vice President of Search at Google. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
And let us know what you think about this. Are you paranoid, maybe rightly so, about the information companies like Google have on you? Here at now.org.